Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered in this morning. Certainly my heart's already been thrilled and blessed as I've been with you in this holy convocation in worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. The opening song, Holy, Holy, Holy. I love that song. And I think of the thrice holy God. And it puts a little tremble in us, doesn't it? It should put a little tremble in us to think the holy God is looking down upon us here this morning. He's interested in this congregation. He's interested in every Christian here. He's interested in every person across the globe. But I believe God's Father heart is touched when he sees his children lifting praise to him. May God be blessed. And I've been blessed in a Sunday school lesson. And as we sang those hymns, my heart's been touched and I received a blessing by being here. This morning, as was introduced by Brother Jesse, it is called Mother's Day. Mother's Day in our nation. Well, Mother's Day is on the calendar, it's a national day to look at and to observe and to respect. There's very few mothers today in our society that are truly godly mothers. You think of the percentage of people that are truly godly, as we would say, true disciples of Jesus Christ. There's so few. And to think how privileged we were to be of the percentage of, that we had a mother that was of the percentage that we would call godly. We should thank God for that. Praise God for that. That of all these mothers across the world, that we were chosen by God, we were blessed by God to have a Christian mother. So this morning I have a message on my heart to encourage our mothers, to bless them, to challenge them a little, mostly encouragement. But as we go from this point forward, I want to encourage you. I believe our mothers are the silent voices. We, of course, they sing in our services, but they're often the silent voices in our church services. And that's well, I believe, as far as they are allowed to talk in Sunday school time too. But a lot of times we look to the men, and that's right for them to lead. But I think it's honorable and respectable that we as God's preachers assign special messages to this side of the house. So I've entitled the message this morning, Influential Mothers. First of all, for an introduction, I want to read to you some quotes about mothers, influential mothers. The first one, because I love my mother. When I was just a little child, I loved my mother so. I liked to touch what she had touched and always tried to know the things she loved the best of all so I could love them too. I made a secret list of them, although she never knew. And now, although I am grown, I love my Heavenly Father so that like a little child again, I humbly seek to know the things which are the most dear to him so I may love them too. And thus drawn closer to the heart of the Lord my mother knew. This is by Abraham Lincoln. He gave this quote, no man is poor who has a godly mother. This next one is an acrostic of mother. The first letter, M, is for the million things she gave me. O, is only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. And R is for right and right she'll always be. Another quote. Mothers who made history. The mother of Dwight L. Moody struggled against poverty on a New England farm. A widow with many problems, she taught her son the importance of eternal values. At 17, Moody accepted Christ, and a few years later, dedicated his life for service. The mother of William Penn so impressed him with the importance of faith in Christ, they took as his life text, this is the victory, even our faith which overcometh the world. Oliver Cromwell's mother taught him the simple truths of Scripture, and he chose as his favorite verse, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Thomas Edison's tribute to his mother, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me a good influence that lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I would never likely have been an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I would have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me on the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me." Now turn with me to a biblical quote, and that is in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, 1 to 6. Here we have a scripture talks about mothers, a grandmother. 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith as in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Here we have, I call, a generation of faith, generational faith. We have grandmother Lois. We have mother Eunice. And we have son Timothy. I look at that as a generational faith. Three generations of faith. I don't know how many generations of faith are previous to you. But what we want as Christian people is generations that follow us, if the Lord tarries. There will be many, many generations from my life onward that would be generations of faith. Here we have these three, grandmother Lois, mother Eunice, son Timothy. Now I want to be clear, when I say generational faith, I don't believe, and none of us should believe, that just because our mother or our grandmother were Christians, that somehow we were born into the church. No, that's false. What I mean by generational faith is that my grandmother chose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. My mother chose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I chose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's the generational faith that we want to influence the generation to also make that choice. It's so very important that we, as the previous generation, the generation living, show a good example of faith in action. We want a generational faith. I believe it's so privileged. If you're a first generation Christian, praise the Lord, you can start that. Three generations, four generations, five, 10 generations of faith. You can start that if you're the first generation. Don't let that intimidate you if you say, "I'm the first one. I don't have a big social, network of people that are part of my family clan." No. But you can make that happen by following God's word. Generational faith. We want that in our congregations. We want that in our families. How sad it would be if one of my children, one of your children, would break that generational faith. There would be a gap in that generational faith. And in the history book of my posterity, that so-and-so's son, he chose a different way. And there's a separation in that generational faith. Just a challenge for us as fathers, us as mothers, that we live very carefully, that we live according to God's word. Because I believe as the influence of us fathers and especially mothers, as I think about you this morning, it's so imperative that we live carefully. If I live carelessly in my Christian life, if you live carelessly in your Christian life, you're going to influence your posterity in the same direction. And is it okay in the careless areas of your life if they take it two steps farther? And then that posterity takes that same careless area two more steps. Then where will the posterity be? Will there be a generation of faith? Will there be a generational faith from generations out through? It is my heart's desire that every mother would be a spiritual, influential mother. How can you influence your posterity in a spiritual, God-honoring way? I want to give some points on that, some answers, some basic answers, simple answers, but they're highly influential to make a generational faith that each of your children, each of those falling down after you, would choose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior first. And paramount, ye must be born again. Probably most of you mothers were born again in your teenage years, and praise the Lord that the Holy Spirit spoke to you and you opened your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful. That is the beginning of that generational faith. When you were born again, maybe you have that date marked down when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. That's where it starts. That's where generational faith starts. It starts in our mothers, having a born-again heart. And I believe that it's not just a once-and-done time. I believe, yes, the initial is a once-and-done if we hold fast to faith. But sad to say, there are mothers that once named the name of Christ and have backslid. And their posterity faced the effects of their backsliding ways. They lost the faith. I think of a once appeared a godly mother. They sent their children to our school. I went to school with their sons. They were likable boys. Had a few issues, not a lot of issues. But they went through our school program and up through eighth grade and so on. Went home, one by one, went completely worldly. Just one by one, completely worldly. After some number of years, the mother decided, I don't want to be a hypocrite anymore. I've been a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite anymore. Took her covering off and wholesale went after business. They're a huge business success in our community. They're farmers and they have huge success. But is business success comparable to a lost faith? Nothing comparable. Nothing comparable. And she made the comment to, I believe, my sister. She said, we spent all that money and sent our sons to Christian day school. And look how they turned out. But if she would just said, look, no, I am the fault. I was a hypocrite for years. I had a covering on. And I was a hypocrite for years. And finally, I didn't want to be a hypocrite. And I cast my covering off. No, she didn't look at herself. But she lost the faith. It looks like that whole generation is lost. Now, I don't give all the blame to her. Her husband didn't take his place as a father in the home. But she was aggressive and she helped, as it were, domino him into a lost faith. And so I plead with you, sisters, mothers in the home. You're born again. Maybe you were born again long ago. But keep the faith. Keep the faith as Grandmother Lois did and as Mother Eunice did. Because you want your sons, you want your daughters to be part of that generational faith. Hold fast to faith. Hold fast to faith. If you see areas in your life that you're backsliding, repent. Get back to the truth and walk onward. Because your posterity depends upon you as a mother to be strong in the faith. Keep the faith your whole life. Be an influential mother. The race is not done. The work is not done until you and I, our mothers, close our eyes in death. Our work is not done until that point in time. Number two, you mothers, be loving, be cheerful, be submissive, be obedient to your husband. All of these attributes, all of these things, virtues that I mentioned, should be first to God. I believe, yes, mothers, you need to be first. Love your God. Cheerfully do God's work. Be submissive to God's word. And be obedient to God. Then secondly, I believe to be love your husband. Be cheerful in the house. I know we're human, and I allow for humanity. I try to do my best to allow my wife to have a space called her humanity. We need that. I'm human. I need her space of grace for my humanity. And I'm not trying to present perfect mothers in a sense that they have no faults. No. That's what I'm saying. So when I say these things, I'm not trying to make you feel inadequate. But I'm making for you to create in you a desire to be the best for God. Be the best for God. And so love your husband. Be cheerful in the house. Be cheerful. Why I said that, because it's not always easy to be cheerful. We don't feel well when you have children to get ready for school, the pressure's on, get there on time, and you know there's a whole list of work to be done this day. It's not always easy to be cheerful. But that's a good goal to aim for. In fact, I believe that a mother has a huge influence on the atmosphere of the home. And if she's cheerful, it's a tremendous impact on her children. Submissive. A submissive mother. Submissive to her husband. But it's a powerful influence on her home. That she gladly, cheerfully submits to her husband. And that puts a proper structure in the home. When children see that mother keeps her place, is happy under the leadership of her husband, it's again tremendous impact on her coming, on her daughters coming up in the household. And oftentimes they mimic their mother when they get married and so on. And so this generational faith goes on and on until someone breaks it or chooses not to. But they can choose too, and that's what we hope. They choose also to be like their mother that was obedient, submissive to her husband. You take a mother that steps out of her God-given role. There's a lot of chaos in the home. When she usurps her husband's authority, when she doesn't do her God-given role, keeping her God-given role, there's a lot of chaos. I believe we as husbands and fathers, let's make it easy for our mothers. One of the easiest and the best Mother's Day gift we can do as fathers is love them with all our hearts. And make their load as easy as possible. And I believe that's one of the best Mother's Day gifts we can give as a husband or a father. I believe if we don't lead out in our marriage or home life, we make the burden on our wife, the mother of our children, a lot harder to bear. So let's husbands, we're to be the strong ones in the home. We're to be the leaders. We're to be standing up to what's facing us. And saying, this is what God's word says, and this is the way we're going to go. And most always, our sisters are glad to follow such spiritual leadership. Husbands and fathers, take your God-given role as a spiritual leader in your home. Wives and mothers, make it easy for your husband and the father of your children to lead out spiritually and physically and emotionally. Do more encouraging than criticizing his leadership, lest he get weary in well-doing. A wife and mother in her proper God-honoring role is highly influential to her posterity. You may think sometimes, be tempted to think that, you know, what's my life amount to as a mother? You know, daily washing the clothes, washing the dishes, you know, taking care of the children, they're fussy and so on. And the day just goes into the next day, and week after week, and month after month. And he's like, what did I really do? Well, what you really did is influence your children the whole day long. You influenced them. You think you influenced them the whole day long and the whole week and the whole month and year after year. And finally, they choose to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what you've done. And all those days that you've invested in them, that's what you've done. You've influenced them to choose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's a powerful influence. There's no better job opportunity than to be a mother in the home, I believe. I want to say also that perhaps there are sisters here that are not married and don't have children. And I don't want to leave you out on this. But this is my topic this morning, so I want you to bear with me on that as I Think about mothers. You have your influence also. You have your special place in God's kingdom and do His will. Be a pattern of what God wants you to be, sisters, mothers, wives. The godly pattern of grandmother Lois, Mother Eunice, influenced the choice of Timothy. It's thought that Timothy was a young bishop, and I would believe that also. There we have that generational faith. Grandmother Lois, do you think she ever had the idea that my daughter Eunice will one day be the mother of a bishop, a mother of a bishop? Probably not. She probably didn't think of that. But she was just faithful day in and faithful day out, month after month, year after year. And God looked down upon them and said, I can use such people that have this generational faith. And as I can touch their family, and I can pull son Timothy out, and he'll be a leader in the church. I can use such people. And that's, we don't know what God has planned for our posterity. But we know this, that He requires of us to be obedient to the Scriptures. Be obedient. And when we're obedient, let God decide the roles for our children. Let God decide what He has planned for them. He will have a special place for them wherever that is. Show a pattern of good works, mothers, to your children, because you may be raising a Timothy for the church. Thirdly, godly wives desire children. We don't hear a lot of preaching on this, but I think I'm of the age that I can preach of this. I have 8 children. I love each one of them, 4 boys and 4 girls. They're such a blessing. And I believe that godly wives truly have a desire for children. Now, we understand, as Scripture speaks about Hannah, Hannah had a number of years that she was barren. She could bear no children. And it vexed herself. It vexed herself that she couldn't have children. See that godly desire of a woman, married woman, that she wanted to have children. And we know the story, how she prayed in the vexation of her heart. Now Eli said to her, "May God give you your request." And she did. God did give her a request. And she had that little son named Samuel. Again, a special one. The influence of Hannah on him and how he was used as a priest of God. And that God used Samuel in such a way that the testimony of Scripture says that God did not let one word of Samuel's mouth fall to the ground. That's how powerful of a man that Hannah influenced. And so, godly wives, I believe, desire children. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. 1 Timothy 5:14. Why I'm stressing this a little this morning is because our culture, the mothers of society, a lot of them aren't even married. They have children out of wedlock and so on. But those that are married, they often are career women. They want to get their business get the money flow correct. And so they go into business, they work for an X amount of years. Maybe in the last section of childbearing years, they all of a sudden want children. Sometimes it's too late. And so then they're vexed in that way, that they can't have children when they want children. But God's Word says that godly wives desire children, they are to bear children, guide the house. Children should be looked at as a blessing in the home, not a bother. Many ungodly wives, yes, they want that career first, then maybe 2 children late in life. God's will is for wives to bear children, yes, and guide the house, as I said. Mothers are to be keepers at home. They're to guide the house day in, day out. God's plan is perfect. China has a one-child policy. They were worried about all the people that could flood China. So years ago, the government made the rule, one child, the rest need to be aborted. We're taking measures not to have children. And so what happened? Years rolled on. I just read not so long ago in my paper. It says now the Chinese government is concerned because now what's happening, now they can see with their eyes that this generation that they said had to be only one child, They've grown up and now they're older. Not completely old, but they're older. They don't have enough young people to support all these old people. And China's economy is just a little shaky. Not completely shaky, but you know, it's because of this. And they didn't go by God's word. And they put in horrendous laws against children. We see that when man tries to usurp his self-will, then there are lots of problems, huge problems. There's a national problem there, as my example of China. Remember, parents, selfishness will produce a negative reaping. My parents live where our business is, and we go there. And my dad made this statement some time ago, and I still remember that as I got this sermon ready. A worldly couple in his community, he talks to them different times, does some things for them. And the wife made this comment, a worldly couple. They said, we had a couple children early in life, and then we decided no more children. She said, now looking back, she said, we wish now, I guess maybe they were 50s, early 50s, and we just wish we had some younger children coming on. But now they chose selfishness early on, and now they're reaping. They wish, even a worldly couple wishes that, oh, if we just had some younger children, you know, that other younger than our first ones. We just had some more still at home. I repeat, remember, parents, selfishness will produce a negative reaping. Fourth point, influential mothers pray for the souls in their home. Where would you and where would I be without the prayers of a godly mother? I don't know, but I'm so glad that she prayed for me. And I'm glad that your mother prayed for you. It's probably why you're here today, because of the prayers of your mother, because of the prayers of your father, no doubt. Prayers are powerfully influential. Do you think Grandmother Lois prayed for Eunice? Do you think that Mother Eunice prayed for Timothy? I believe that's a no-brainer, right? They prayed for their posterity. And prayers are powerful in the lives of children. Prayers. How often, mothers, do you pray for your posterity? You don't always need to be that special time in a prayer closet. I believe that's important. It's necessary, that special time. But through the day, as you hang up the wash, you can pray for your children. As you wash the dishes, you can pray for your children. You know, whatever you're doing, your daily work, you can pray for your children. Pray for them. It's powerfully influential. Number five, influential mothers sing to their children. I believe that songs are powerful. They're impressive on children's minds. Do you remember the songs your mother sang? I remember my mother singing Dust on the Bible. Dust on the Bible. I liked the lyrics of it. I liked how she could sing. And I liked how it was so impressive. The deepness of it didn't really grip me, but as I think about it even now, you know, dust on this Bible is serious. Dust on this Bible is serious. It means if I let dust on my Bible, there's a serious spiritual problem right in here. I don't know how your Bible is. I trust that you don't have dust in your Bible at home. But a song like that, and probably songs you remember your mother singing, are impressionable on our minds. If it's not your talent to sing, then turn on the record player. Turn on some gospel singing. I know that people are created different. God creates people differently. Some are singers, natural singers, talented singers. It just bubbles out of them. And some don't have that blessing of talent, but they still can sing. But you can put some good gospel music on to influence your children. I remember in the wintertime, these young youth here wouldn't remember the old record players. I know Brother Harry does. I know the older ones here remember the old record players, big record players, about as wide as this pulpit, about as deep as this pulpit. You know, we'd have them there as like part of the furniture in the house. And in no cold evening, we'd be lying on the floor there, my brother, a couple of us, and I, and we'd turn old Aiden Diller on. Oh, Honey in the Rock. Honey in the Rock. We loved hearing his old bass voice. And it just thrilled us, boys. You know, here's this Aiden Diller's big bass voice. And I'm singing Honey in the Rock. his wife, I think, or his daughter singing, "Angels Rock Me to Sleep." But that was when we were young. And I still remember that. The songs, how they impress upon our minds. Did it influence me? Sure, it influences me. Honey in the Rock. You know, be close to Jesus Christ. Get that honey out of the rock. "Angels Rock Me to Sleep." Peace. So on. Sing to your children. Or turn on the record player. No, not the record player now. What, the CD? So on. Turn them on. Whatever form it is, turn it on. Maybe it's on your smartphone. Turn it on. Let them hear. Let them be impressed with the singing of true godly people. Truly godly people. And remember, the reverse is true also. If you turn on those hymns that are less than ideal, you turn those hymns on that aren't really godly, and those hymns, God forbid, that are of the world, they're also going to impress. They're also going to impress. Choose the right hymns. Choose godly hymns. It's powerful. It's essential. Sixthly, influential mothers read the Bible. They read Bible story books. They read the church periodicals for their children. They build godly memories in their children's minds. It doesn't always have to be mother, but oftentimes it is mother. Her quiet, gentle way, maybe before she puts them to bed, a nap or so on. Read them a story. Read them the church periodical. Read them the Bible story book. Read them, yes, the truths of God's Word, made for their level. It's powerful to get those memories in their minds. We have Sunday school, yes, but don't let Sunday school do the work of teaching your children the Bible stories. Mothers, do that in your home. Seventhly, influential mothers are teachers. They teach by word and example. I've mentioned these things, and some of these overlap, I understand. Much of a child's mindset is taught by their parents. A mother has a huge influence in a child's mindset. She's with the children all through the day. Her teaching is powerful. How she responds to life, you know, how she acts and reacts and so on, influence the child's mindset. What she says, yes, what she sings, all these things. Her example is a teacher. Her words are a teacher. It's a powerful, influential aspect that mothers have. Do you think that Grandmother Loss knew that her grandson would be a preacher, probably a young bishop? Doubtful. But she was faithful. She was a teacher by life and example. And she produced a generational faith that produced a young bishop in the church. Faithfulness in the heart doesn't usually focus on greatness. It focuses on God. And so we can have a conceited idea that if I'm really faithful, someday maybe God's going to put my son in to be bishop. Now that's pride, right? But we can be carnal. We can think that. No, faithfulness in the heart doesn't usually focus on greatness. It focuses on God and humility. So in humility and carefulness, a careful walk, by word and example, we can influence our posterity. And if God chooses, praise the Lord. They can use our posterity for his kingdom. Last but not least, influential mothers have been a great blessing in the past, are now presently, and will be in the future as long as God gives time on earth. May God bless you as mothers. May you not be weary in well-doing, but you take up the work, remembering that you have something beyond any career that may tease your mind, and that is you can be influential in your present-day posterity and produce a generational faith that will go on into eternity, hopefully, till the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Let's kneel for prayer.